Oh, well, let's come in and get started, guys. All right, let's pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, it's just an awesome privilege to be here with you this morning. We look forward to dining at your table. I ask, Lord, that you bring your words through me so that we get a better understanding of how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how you want us to be to you in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! So last week, we were talking about one of my favorite sports, which is fishing. And I'll remind you all that it is scriptural because Peter said, I'm going fishing. So, and I was just reminded, actually standing there and washing my hands in the bathroom. Says, you know, I'm glad I went fishing because Jonah didn't go fishing and he got caught. So, we left off, I think, with the Lord in the middle of restoring Peter, you know, and he is so awesomely ordered. You know, as we remember, Peter denied him three times. And the Lord gave him opportunity to be restored three times. And as I'm going through this, this week has been extremely full for me. My only uncle, who was 90 years old, passed away this past Monday. And it was not unexpected. He suffered from liver cancer, and he finally went home. But all of his roots and things were here in the county. He lived in Boston, but all of his roots and things were here in the county, and he is interred here in the county. So that brought all of our relatives that we don't get to see a whole lot back here. And we had such an awesome time yesterday remembering and celebrating the life of my uncle, Senator. You know, it's all when Holy Spirit brings the brethren together. You got a feast. Amen. And you get to drink, too. And I was just saying earlier, I was drinking heavy yesterday. And in the Lord. Let me clarify that. Holy Spirit, you know, new wine. Got to share some with Pastor Charlie. Pastor Charlie has been part of my family for a long, long time. He's doing well. He's recovering well. So he continued prayers on that part. But we were sitting there with some of his children and my brother-in-law, and we were just going over how Holy Spirit is strengthening us all and wants us. Here's one of the things that my brother-in-law brought up, and I don't know how I'm going to use this later, but it's going to come back. So put a little mental bookmark on there. You know, when he put us in the garden, he told us to dress it and keep it, and we're to rule and reign here on earth in this kingdom. So our place here in this kingdom is not only serving the Lord, but it's serving the Lord by ruling and reigning where we are. Okay? And I'd get 5 or 10 minutes here and 5 or 10 minutes there and go back into where we're going, and I noticed some parallels that I had never, ever seen before in the life of Christ and our life, okay? So, that being said, let's go quickly, if we can, to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And if somebody's got it, go ahead and read it. Don't be shy.
Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, shall be called the Son of God.
Yeah. So, God came to a person and said, I'm going to be over you, and I'm going to, this is an inference, okay? I'm going to create life in you. Because that's exactly what he did. He created life within Mary, okay? Now, secondly, somebody, let's go to Matthew 3:16. And read that one.
After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him.
And lighting on him. And then, in John chapter 2, verse 11. Got it?
Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Canaan of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him.
Yeah, and what was that? That was his first miracle. He did what? He turned water into wine, you know, the stuff I was drinking on yesterday, the good stuff, Holy Spirit wine. So, and here's something that you may or may not have known. Jesus did not do one recorded miracle until after his baptism. And that was his first recorded miracle. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, whoa, hold on. Now, in our lives, what happens? First of all, in John 20, 22, when Jesus was resurrected, and you can look this up in a little bit, Jesus was talking to them. He came to a point, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive what? What was he doing? He was creating new life within them. All right? So they have new life within them. And then, somewhere along in that same chapter, he said, I'm sending you to Jerusalem so that what I've promised you will come upon you. What was that? The what of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was discussing this with a friend of mine this past week. The enemy, you know, last week when I was talking about fighting distraction, the enemy has made such a big deal of what happened in that first baptism, which was what? Tell me. Don't be afraid. What was that? What happened to them? What?
Tongues.
Tongues. I expressed, you know, that sometimes when people get born again and they hear the voice of God, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to speak in tongues. You don't have to. That's one. That's just one. That's just one of the things, the empowerment, the miraculous empowerment that Holy Spirit puts on you when you are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the life is breathed. Your eternal life is already breathed in you. When you say, yes, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, that new life is bubbling up in you. Then, what did he do to David? When David was called to be the king of Israel, what did he do? What did the prophet do? He took a horn of oil and did what? Poured it all over the top of him, symbolizing what? The seal and the power and the appointment of God on his life. That is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It is the seal, the power, and the appointment of God on your life. Now, how do you get it? You have not because you ask not. Is that a big, dramatic thing? No. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit wherever you choose to be. You can be baptized in the church. You can be baptized in your home. You can be baptized. I wouldn't suggest it too much in the car because you never know what's going to happen. There you go. But we are to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. The life is breathed into us. The Spirit, the power of the Spirit is poured out over us. And then, like what the last thing we were talking, what was the last thing we were talking about with Peter and what the Lord prophesied over him? When you're old, somebody else. Now, take us where we don't want to go. Ouch. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. And God's going, we should be like this when God says, do that. Now, am I like that? No, I'll just tell you, ask my wife, I am not like that yet. If there's something that I don't like and God's telling me to do, God, are you sure? No, I didn't hear, 17 trumpets in my ear telling me to do this. We should aim to be more like that. We should aim to be more like that when the Spirit of God comes on us and tells us why. Because there is somebody or something that is going to change for the kingdom of God when we walk in the obedience to the Holy Spirit. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and they were talking about what had gone. Hold on, I'm going to get there. The reason that I said that I'm here, standing here right now, teaching on what I'm teaching, is because I kicked my spiritual life out of gear. Why? Because the Lord was taking me in places that I didn't want to go and I didn't like. But he is so gracious and so powerful and so loving that he went beyond that and began to open my eyes to the reason why I'm in the place that I'm in. And we just had a discussion a minute ago on the platform that, and I'm going to use this, Andrea, the people who are seeking after the Lord, these things are happening to us. The things that we've known, the things that we've counted on, the things that we've, my go-to lure that always caught fish anywhere I went, all of a sudden, no fish are interested in it. Why? Because there's a bigger fish, there's more to catch if I listen to what the Lord is telling me to do. So get back in gear. Get back on the train. Get back on the bus, whatever it is you're riding. Get back on it because God's got a place to take us to that's better. We can't even imagine how much better it is than where we are now if we just turn loose of our familiarity. And I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters, like I'm talking to myself. It's real easy to say, but in practice, sometimes you got to pry your hands off of that tackle box and do something different.
This is really good stuff that you're talking about. And
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Wait a minute. I tend to differ. Is that not a greater blessing?
There you go.
Is that not a better blessing? All right. Exactly. Exactly. It doesn't, until we get that paradigm change in the old head and switch our direction. Okay, again, I recommended this book the last time I taught. I recommend it again. It's a daily devotional. It's Tozer's on the Holy Spirit. And I was just going through this a week or so ago, and this is a January 3rd devotional. And I want to read it here. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed." We just talked about that, the oil sealed for the day of redemption. That's Ephesians 4:30. He says, "In most Christian churches, the Spirit is quite entirely overlooked. Whether he is present or absent makes no real difference to anyone. Brief reference is made to him in the doxology and the benediction. Further, then he might as well not exist. Our neglect of the doctrine of the blessed third person he has had is having serious consequences, for doctrine is dynamite."
Say that one more time.
Really?
Doctrine is dynamite. And what is doctrine? It's the series. It's not just a, but it's the series together of truth that we base whatever it is, whatever direction. If you know, in stock trading, if you have a doctrine of stock trading or whatever, it's a series of truths, a series of principles that guide your reference point. Okay? For doctrine is dynamite. It must have emphasis sufficiently sharp to detonate before its power is released. In other words, if you got a bunch of wild hogs in your field and you throw a corn pile out there and then you throw a few chunks of tannerite over there, they can eat all day around that tannerite until what? Until there's a bullet that runs in there and ignites the tannerite. Then you got a mess of ribs. There you go. See, I told you we was going to eat when we got here. The doctrine of the Spirit is buried dynamite. Its power awaits the discovery and use by the church. The power of the Spirit, now, this next sentence I had to look up, guys. Are you ready? "The power of the Spirit will not be given to any mincing assent to pneumatological truth." I'm going to read that one more time, and I'll interpret it for you in Southern. "The power of the Spirit will not be given to any mincing assent to pneumatological truth." Now, here's what it means when you interpret it. The power of the Spirit will not be given to any small mental admittance or agreement with psychological truth. Small mental admittance. Who's he talking to? Small mental admittance. The Holy Spirit cares not at all whether we write him into our creeds, in the back of our hymnals. He awaits our emphasis. And this is a direction that I feel very strongly in my spirit that the Lord is moving his church toward. The emphasis on relationship with his Spirit becoming identified our identity in the Spirit, becoming that hand, that foot, that instrument of the Holy Spirit now, here, every day. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have not. I'm challenging us, me very much included, into every day. Where is that emphasis on you in this day for me, Lord? You know, it can be as small as seeing somebody that needs a hand and giving them a hand, either by praying for them, taking them somewhere, or it can be as large as taking a deep breath and that thing that God's been pushing your button to do. Maybe you don't like standing up in front of people and giving your testimony. Maybe you need to do that. I don't know. But God knows, and it's every day walking like that. Because if we do that, brothers and sisters, the church is going to explode. Why? Because it's God's goodness that draws people unto Him. And how are they going to see His goodness? Okay, where am I going? Got to go back a little bit. Going back to John, and we're going to this is just going to go back over what we just talked about in John 16. Jesus is talking. Now,
16, what verse?
I'm just going to the first verse for right now. We discussed what was happening before Peter went to the lake. Well, Jesus was crucified, and he was resurrected, and then he came and talked to them. How many times? Three times. Well, it's three. Three is the number of completion. Unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All these things had been happening, and then he told them to go and make disciples in all the world. But he'd done that before. John 16, 1, he says, I have told you these things so you won't be caught by surprise. They will ban you from the synagogue. In fact, the time will come when anyone who kills you will think he's serving God. They will do these things because they've understood neither the Father nor me. But I've told you this so that when the time comes for it to happen, you will remember what I told you. And I didn't tell you this at first because I was with you, but now I'm going on to the one who sent me. None of you is asking me, where are you going? Instead, because I've said these things to you, you're overcome with grief. That's our humanness. We're focusing on and the sayer, and not exactly what he said. But I tell you the truth, this is to your advantage that I go away, for if I didn't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will show you the world is wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment, about sin, in that the people don't put their trust in me. Now, last week, I read something out of this complete Jewish Bible where when Jesus resurrected, came back, talked to Mary, said, go tell the disciples to come see me in Galilee because I'll be there in Galilee. Well, they come and they go and they see Jesus standing there. And the King James says that there a lot of them bowed down, but some of them doubted. In this Bible, it says they didn't believe in the reality. And what I'm talking about here is they do not put their trust in the reality of the Father. They don't put their trust. And what's happening here? The world is wrong about sin and about righteousness, about judgment, about sin, and that people don't put their trust in me, about righteousness in that I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me, about judgment in that the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak not on his own initiative, but he will say only what he hears. He will announce to you the events of the future. If we ask, we're going to get a download. If we ask. And sometimes when we don't ask, just because he loves us so much, he don't want us to fall. He don't want us to get hurt. He'll say, I don't think you need to go this way today. You probably need to go this way. Why? Because, well, there was a head-on collision here, and if you'd have been here at that time, you'd have been part of it. That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. Let me keep going here. He will glorify me because he will receive from what is mine and announce it to you. Get up on that. He will give you what's from heaven. The things from heaven are coming to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said that he receives from what is mine and will announce it to you. You know, I had absolutely positively no idea when I started with this particular study, I'm going fishing, that what we're going to be ending up really delving into is daily walk with Holy Spirit. Now, I might bust some religious idols right here, right now. But where does the Bible say the Lord Jesus Christ is at this moment? Seated at the right hand of the Father. How is the truth, the power, the provision of God given to the believer here on earth every day, now? What did he just say? Holy Spirit. And how does that work? I mean, you know, I'm stomping on some, you know, Jesus is everywhere. Yes, he is. But he's everywhere on earth in what? Holy Spirit. How can that be? Back in the Old Testament, it says, Hear, O Israel, our God is one. Okay. This is how it works. It's simple. You've probably heard it before, but it helps. I am my Father's Son. I am my sister's brother. I am my wife's husband. Am I three people? Absolutely not. I am one person. However, my relationship with my Father, I relate in a different way, with a different flavor and a different language to my father. I relate in a different way, in a different language to my wife. I would not relate to my wife in the same way I relate to my father. But I'm still the same person, and that's the same thing that's happening here with our Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He relates to us through Holy Spirit, empowering us each day, talking to us each day, walking through us each day by the power of the Holy Spirit. He talks to us each day. He said, I'm going to send him, and he's going to remind you of all the truth that I told you about while I was here. Exactly right. That's good.
I am going to do. I will be. I am going to be.
Yeah. All of it. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, I keep hearing when you're sharing, what's coming to mind is that scripture, how have you limited the Holy One of Israel? And we limit ourselves by, they said the two killers of the church is, we've never done it that way before.
Ouch. Say that one more time. We've never done it that way before. We've always done it this way.
And we can't get out of that box. We try to put God in unwittingly. And we need to break out and challenge ourselves to be more in God. And here, I don't want to go to heaven and find out that I missed out on so many different things that I could have done.
Amen. That's good, Jeff. That's good. And, well, you know, the killer, one of the killers of our walk, the one of the killers of our ministry, because we all have ministries. We are all ministers of the Most High God. We are all powerful, but one of the killers is that other word, comfort. You know, he sends the comforter, but that's a different thing. If we get comfortable in where we are or how we do things, then what are we relying on?
Our circumstances, our comfort around us.
Our comfort around us. This work, I'm telling y'all, that Rapala that floats on the water, that sucker works every time. Don't worry about it. Wrong. In a certain situation with a certain species of fish, it ain't gonna happen. Ask me how I know. Right. Yep. Yep.
So in our lives, there's times that we have to feel that Jesus is not with us, I think, so that we'll press into the comforter he's supposed to be pressed into.
Pressed into, exactly. I want to maybe flesh out, you know, because I got, Cinda said last week, I'm going to tell on you, honey. She said last week, I really enjoyed your teaching last week because you did a lot more of just sharing without going into the definition of words and, you know, root causes of words and all that kind of stuff. I can't help it. That's how I go. Well, I can help it, but this time I got to lay this one back on us, okay? You just brought up, going to Jerusalem so that I can send the promise of the Father upon you. Okay, had to go to the word upon, so here it is. It's a superimposition. And as a relation of distribution, Okay, let me break it down. I had to go to Webster's myself. The act of superimposing, to lay on or impose something else, to lay or set or place on, to arrange, adjust, and fasten into, chase or chase after. When you lay, like some of us are not exactly talented in artistry. And so if I wanted to draw a nice picture on the top of this table here, I would have to use what they call a stencil. Superimpose that stencil on top of this table and draw a line so that you guys would know what that was supposed to be. But the reason that that picture came to be or came to life was because that stencil was superimposed on top of it. Holy Spirit superimposed on our lives for that particular day, the world gets the picture. Get the picture? I am so excited to see the direction that our world is going to in this day, because I truly believe, brothers and sisters, that we are being called upon to be drawn out. We come in here every day, every Sunday, to get that charge. Charge! John this week, charge! Pat this week, charge! Who are you getting? Who's God sending you to? What is that message? Who got pulled from the gates of hell because you came on the notion from the Holy Spirit and said three words? We can't afford anymore to not. I'll say that again. We can't afford anymore to not. In the end, it says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be part of that because I missed something. I don't want to be part of that because I missed something. And it's not that we're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but when I get there, I don't want to find out that there was something that I missed. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our names go in that Lamb's Book of Life. You can take that to the bank and cash it 50,000 times over. But that's not it. There's interest on that account, ladies and gentlemen. And the interest on that account is the walking out of what we're called to do. And we'll talk about that more next time, but what we're called to do, everybody has the same interest level. Whether you donate a dollar or you're capable of donating $100,000, in the eyes of God, it don't matter. The interest is the same. Amen? I hope this has been inspiring, because I don't know how he got that out of this, but he'll do it again next week. I love y'all. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the words. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the table that you prepared before us. We've enjoyed it, Lord. Father, I pray for our service as we continue to go forward. I'm looking forward to dessert today, Lord. Bless us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.